Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. Last week I shared a video on things that I do not do. This week I'm sharing on things that I do every day. Everyday habits that I've been able to keep up. And this is just in our normal everyday life. Obviously, if we're out visiting people or traveling or well, even when we went to South Africa, we were pretty much able to keep a lot of these. But I think the reason why we're able to maintain a lot of these habits, even when we go to South Africa, is because we have a value for all of these things that we're doing. And it's one of my favorite quotes from Lisa Graham McMinn, choices reflect values. So the choices that we make every single day reflects the values that we hold every day in our life. So to start off the video, I want to read from Proverbs 4. Normally I share with you old dictionaries, which I do have a definition I want to share with you later today. But today I'm sharing with you one of my favorite old Bibles. This is dated 1881. So I have my bookmark in here for Proverbs 4. This is what the inside of the Bible looks like. Proverbs 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And then the side note, it says, ponder the path of thy feet, and all thy ways shall be ordered aright. And I love thinking about this verse for today because I'm sharing on habits that we do every single day. And I love that it says, ponder the path of thy feet, because how many things do we just do without actually thinking about why we're doing them, or is there a better way to do them? It is about living a life with intention. That is what slow living is all about. It is being intentional with the choices that you make of, am I doing this because it's just a culturally normal thing to do? Or am I doing this because it is a value of ours? And doing this habit every day is getting us to where we want to be. That leads me to my next book, my old dictionary. This book actually doesn't have a date in it because some of the first pages are gone. So I actually don't reference this one very much because I'm so scared of ruining it, but I love this book. And in the first page, there's this old farmer's program, and it is from 1897. The definition that I really like out of this dictionary, I looked at all of my dictionaries and I liked this one the best. I love looking up words and their meanings because sometimes I think we just get used to words and it's fun to actually figure out what do these words mean, especially in older dictionaries, because I feel like a lot of our words today have lost their meaning. The word we're looking up is habit, and this was really interesting. So the way we use the word habit doesn't come up until the fourth definition. So the first two have to do with clothing, which shocked me. I didn't even know habit had to do with clothes. I asked Scott if he knew this, and he said a monk's habit. But I've never heard habit used in reference to clothing at all. But the first definition is garb, dress, clothes, or garments in general. And then the second definition is a coat worn by ladies over other garments. And then the fourth definition is a disposition or condition of the mind or body, a tendency or aptitude for the performance of certain actions acquired by custom, or a frequent repetition of the same act. Habit is that which is held or retained, the effect of custom or frequent repetition. Hence, we speak of good habits and bad habits. Frequent drinking of spirits leads to the habit of intemperance. We should endeavor to correct evil habits by a change of practice. A great point in the education of children is to prevent the formation of bad habits. I love this definition because it gives two different perspectives on habits. It says that habits are an action that is repeatedly done, or habit is that which is held or retained, the effect of custom. And I thought, wow, that is really interesting. How many of the things that we do in our life are just cultural customs, things that we just do or think because that is a custom in our life? And when I read this, I immediately thought of the habit of thinking that we're trained in. And I find with a lot of my videos, the immediate response to some of the touchier subjects that I speak on, there is a habit of thinking that people just repeat. So whenever Scott and I are encouraging girls that you don't have to go to college, the habit of thinking that is trained by culture is to say, well, what are you going to do if your husband dies? What are you going to do if you never get married? You're going to be stuck working at Burger King. Those are all cultural, habitual ways of thinking. And our hope with doing these videos is to give a different perspective, that the mainstream narrative, the mainstream cultural flow isn't the only way to do things. So I thought that was interesting with habits of thinking, especially through public school training indoctrination. There is a just habit of thinking, and if you break that box, people are going to look at you like you're crazy if you do things outside of cultural customs. And then I also thought it was interesting because this definition said that there's good habits and there's bad habits. So obviously I want to share on good habits today, but I think that is something to reflect on. Are there any bad habits that I have in my life that I need to break? And I'm currently working on a bad habit. So, and it's not bad for everyone. It's just bad for me because I don't feel good when I drink coffee. So I have broken the habit of drinking coffee, making it in our home, drinking it, because I used to make cold brew all the time. But I noticed that by the time the afternoon hit, because I would just sip on it throughout the day, by the time the mid-afternoon hit, I would just feel so sluggish, low energy, and I just didn't feel good. I didn't like the way it made my body feel. So I decided I'm going to cut out all caffeine at home and then make getting coffee a special occasion thing. Well, that can easily become a very bad habit, making every day a special occasion and feeling the need to go to a coffee shop because that is the justification. And I don't have a reaction to not drinking coffee like some people do with getting headaches and stuff. For me, I think it's just because I enjoy it. I like the taste of it. So that has been my bad habit that I'm overcoming. And it sounds so silly, but I'm like, God, your grace is sufficient for me. You can help me overcome this thing of desiring to go get a cold brew or to go drink a coffee. I don't need that in my life. So that's the bad habit thing. But today I want to share about the everyday habits that we do in our life, and maybe it will give you some ideas. So I'm going to go through this as I would go through our day. So first thing in the morning, we always wake up, brush our teeth right when we get out of bed. A few years ago, we heard he was actually a pastor, a Sri Lankan pastor. We were going through fasts with him, and he said he encouraged during the fast to make sure that you brush your teeth as soon as you wake up in the morning, because he said all of this bacteria builds up in your mouth overnight, and then a lot of us just get up, go eat, drink water, and you had that all that bacteria in your mouth, and you're now just swallowing it. And so he encouraged to brush your teeth as soon as you wake up in the morning, and so Scott and I have been doing that for years, and now that's just a habit. First thing in the morning, we get up, we go brush our teeth. The next thing that we do also has to do with dental health. We oil pool. So we take a teaspoon or half a teaspoon, whatever we end up getting in our little spoon, of coconut oil and put it in your mouth, swish it around for 5 to 10 minutes, and then we spit it out in the trash can. And then, since I made my one dental video, one of you guys said that you should rinse your mouth with water afterwards. So we've been doing that ever since I shared that video. And we have noticed significant improvement in our dental health since we've been consistent with oil pulling every day. And it does whiten your teeth. We have noticed that our teeth are whiter from oil pulling every day. The next thing that we do is we try to go outside. And if it's just to take a deep breath of air, or we have chickens now, so one of us or both of us will go and walk out and let the chickens out, enjoy the look of our garden. Even in the winter, we try to do this because it is just so good for you. It's also good for your circadian rhythm, just even if you're just outside for a second. With a lot of these things, they can be done in the winter. We just do them in a different way. We're both pretty flexible people, so I feel like our routine changes with the seasons, but our habits, what we do, remains the same. How we do them is differently. So even when we wake up in the morning, in the winter, because the sun comes up later, we will wake up later. In the summer, the sun comes up earlier, we wake up earlier. So that's just how we function, and it works well for us. So for all of these things, I adjust them depending on the season of the year it is, or where I'm at in my cycle. That changes how I do some of these things. But some of these things, like oil pulling in the morning, that's just, you know, something you do, or going and letting the chickens out and just being outside for a bit. That's just what you do. So then the next thing that I will always do is make a smoothie for us in the morning. And this I don't consider our main breakfast. This is just to get nutrients in our stomach first thing in the morning, especially for Scott because he does drink coffee in the morning. I've read things that say it's not good for you to drink coffee on an empty stomach, so I make us a morning smoothie, and that a lot of times depends on what I have. So it will always be frozen bananas and then some sort of frozen fruit, whatever we have, and then I'll add our raw milk to it, and if we have yogurt, I'll add that. If we have ginger root, I'll add that, and then I'll usually add, if I have eggs from my parents, then I will add a raw egg to it, and then I rotate between the Perfect Supplements collagen powder and the Equip chocolate protein powder. I love the Equip chocolate protein powder. It doesn't have that nasty protein powder taste or chalkiness. It's delicious. I have a link for Perfect Supplements if you're interested in the collagen and the Equip protein powder below, and there's coupon codes for both of them. And then I will usually add my other supplement powders like Camu powder, which is for vitamin C, chlorella, spirulina. And then if we have chopped up frozen raw beef liver, grass-fed, grass-finished, ready to go in a stasher bag, I will add a little tiny chunk of that to our smoothie. I have not been diligent with thawing out the chunk of liver that we have in our freezer because you have to thaw it out enough to where it's at the perfect place to be able to slice it into chunks, because if you thaw it all the way, then it's really hard to cut up. But if you thaw it enough to where it's still semi-frozen, it's very easy to chop into pieces. I lay it on a cookie sheet with parchment paper, all separated out, put it back in the freezer, and then I will take those pieces and put it in a stasher bag, and then I'll usually add one or two of those chunks to our smoothie. We haven't had that in a while because I haven't actually done the thing of thawing our beef liver. And again, same with the eggs. I would only do that because we're eating it raw from a notable source. So we know where this beef liver came from. And yeah, that's the only way we would eat it raw. And what's great is you don't taste it. If you have fruit and yogurt and especially the chocolate protein powder, you don't taste the liver at all. So after the smoothie, I will make myself tea, and I base the tea that I'm drinking off of what I'm feeling that morning. This is how I make my mornings fun and exciting because I'm not doing coffee anymore. So I make choosing tea fun. So I sometimes rotate between Dawn Combs. She has two different teas in her book, Conceiving Healthy Babies, that you can drink at different times of your cycle. So I have two of those tea blends that I already have made. I will often reach for those. But then there are times where I want something fresh. So now since we have herbs growing in our garden, I'll walk outside and I'll pick some peppermint or some lemon balm, whatever other herbs that I have growing in the garden. Lemon basil, we craved that last year. Hot lemon basil tea was so good. I don't have any growing yet, but the seeds have been planted, so hopefully they grow. This morning I had our green rooibos that I sell in the shop with fenugreek seed in it as well, and that was so delicious. Sometimes I'll drink our organic red rooibos with a little bit of milk and honey, and that also is so delicious. If I'm really missing coffee, I will do that route because it's more rich and thick and really nice. So that's how I do my morning tea, and it makes it really fun. And a lot of times I do wonder, like, if I'm looking at my bulk herb area, I see if my body is drawn to something, and then sometimes I'll look up what minerals or nutrients those herbs have, and I think, wow, that's interesting. I wonder if I craved that tea this morning because my body needs something from that herb. So I'll make my tea, then I'll have my quiet time with the Lord, and this also changes with the season. Sometimes Scott and I, we will sit at our breakfast nook and we'll read our Bible together, and then we'll journal and just hang out over here. Recently, we've been hanging out in the living room, reading the Bible together, and some mornings we read our Bible separately. So it really depends on the morning. We're kind of flexible with that. We're not super rigid with how we do our Bible reading quiet time, but we just do it in a way that works for us that morning. I also will always journal during that time. I love journaling. It's really important to me to journal. And I notice when I'm not journaling, I can tell a difference in my emotional state when I am not processing through my journal or praying or writing to God or just even getting my thoughts out. It has always been a very helpful tool for me. Even long before I was married, I've pretty much journaled from 20 years old until now. And I probably have like 50 journals. And they're always my hand-bound journals, so they're beautifully bound and they look so pretty. I actually have them in a box right now. We need to get more bookshelves for all of our books, and so I want to be able to put them up on display, because I also love being able to look back at journals and be like, this is what God has done. I mean, I've been able to look back at journals and things that I have prayed, I now see those prayers having been answered, even down to little things. Before I met Scott, I would pray for him all the time. Obviously, I didn't know it was him, but I was praying for my future husband all the time. And I would ask God, God, what does my husband need prayer for today? And sometimes I would write those things down, which, I mean, could be a little bit risky, but it's really cool, because the one I wrote down that like he needs help getting out of a relationship or something to that point, and I actually would love to find it, but I wrote something about praying for him to get out of a relationship, and I thought, well, this is a terrible thing to think about, is that your husband's in a relationship. But I wrote it down for some reason in my journal. I wrote it down, and I remember maybe 2 years into our marriage, I was going back through that journal, and I asked Scott about that time frame. I said, I wrote this down in my journal, and this is what I was praying for you. And it is so cool, because that was the same season that him and his past girlfriend had broken up. And I was like, God, you had me praying for that for him in that season. And because I wrote it down, I can literally see how you were working in Scott's life in that time before I even met him. So it's the importance of praying for your future husband, for all my single sisters out there. All that to say, I love journaling. It's very important. Reading my Bible is important. The Bible app is so helpful. My brother encouraged me to do the audio Bible, listening to it. There's different like programs in the Bible app that you can like listen to the Bible in a year, or listen to the Bible in 90 days. To me, it's great to read it, but if you're able to listen to it, praise God. If that's how you're able to receive the Word of God, that's how you're able to become edified. And I noticed for myself, sometimes I hear things differently than I read. So especially going through the Old Testament, things have stood out to me that normally I would just read over because I just maybe wasn't interested or just skimming past it. But when you're listening to it, you hear things differently than you would if you were to read it. So I encourage you, if you've never listened to the Bible app, it is really helpful to listen to. And then next, I will make us a nutrient-dense breakfast. This is our main breakfast, and I noticed that when I make us a very hearty breakfast, it holds us over until lunchtime. So I prefer to do a protein and egg. So this morning, I cut up little sausage pieces, and then I scrambled an egg, cooked that over top of it, and it was delicious. We've also been doing a lot of the sourdough Dutch pancake and the banana egg pancakes when we had fresh strawberries from our garden, because it was fun to be able to use our fresh strawberries on top of our pancakes and Dutch pancake. And our strawberries have now finally stopped, but we did that a lot recently because we just, again, our body craved the freshness of the strawberries with, I'm sure, the carbs. But what's nice about both of those meals is they both have a lot of egg in them, so it also fills us up as well. And then another thing that I do is we fix our bed every morning. So one of us will always get to it first. Pretty much whoever gets dressed first in the morning is the one who fixes the bed. Sometimes we'll be in there together and we'll fix it together. For us, that's like a non-negotiable thing, is fixing the bed. And I think that's just how I was raised. My mom always said, if you fix your bed and clean your kitchen, the rest of your house feels great. And so that is just something that's been ingrained into me. So fixing the bed is just a natural thing to do. And then normally I will, at this point, go walk around outside, ground, barefoot, and especially when it's sunny out, I try to be outside for 5 to 10 minutes and let the sun enter into my eyes without glasses or contacts, because I have noticed that me being intentional about doing this, the past 2 eye doctor visits that I've had, my vision has improved for the first time in my whole life. And I've had glasses since I was 10 years old. And doing this consistently, I started doing this in 2021 and have been consistent with it. Not every day. Some days it's rainy. Some days you can't go outside. Some winter mornings it's cold. But I try to do this at least 4 times a week of just being outside, even if it's just for a little bit, and allowing the sun to enter my eyes. That doesn't mean I'm staring into the sun. I'm not staring into the sun. I am being outside, facing the direction of the sun, and the sun is shining into my eyes. I'm not looking directly added. But I also know that this is good for setting my circadian rhythm by grounding, just being outside in nature. And I also just think it's so healing. And on that note, if it is raining, Scott and I always try to be intentional if it has rained or stormed to go outside after a storm, because I read a book last year that said after storms, there is negative ions in the air and it is so healing for your body. And so we always try to go outside, and especially we try to go over to our land because there's running water over there. And wherever there's running water, there's even more negative ions. That's why you feel energized after going to a waterfall or being near a waterfall for a while, because there is negative ions near the running water. So ever since I read that book, we've always been very intentional about, oh, the storm's over, let's go for a walk, let's go outside and get some of those negative ions. So even if it's not sunny out, you can still get a lot of good health benefits from going outside after a rainstorm. Something else that I always try to do in the mornings is some sort of movement workout. So last fall, I took a Goda class. It was a 3-week every Friday class, and Goda is not yoga. Goda stands for greatest of all time athletes, and they have looked at the greatest athletes of all time and how their bodies function and how much of our world today, because of sitting all the time, we have lost the natural posture that God has given us, and our bodies have adjusted to sitting positions. So like hunched positions, shoulders down, tucking your pelvis inwards, and a lot of workouts, they actually encourage you to tuck your pelvis in all the time. And they teach that that is not the way that God has created us. We were created to have open hips. So a lot of their workouts, they do groundwork exercises. So I took those 3 classes. So they basically, when you signed up for the classes, they gave you 2 different groundwork exercise routines. You do 3 to 5 sets of those cycles of these groundwork exercises. And these exercises are supposed to help you open up your body, give you good posture, help your hips open up. And I noticed right away when I started doing this, I didn't realize how locked in my left hip was. And I realized that I grew up playing soccer my whole life, and I'm right-footed. And so my left leg was the plant leg. Every time I'd kick the ball, that would be my planted leg. And that hip socket was so like locked up trying to do the exercises. I didn't realize how little flexibility I had in my left hip area until trying to do these exercises. So I try to do that at least 4 times a week. Their exercises, they are so simple, they're easy. You can do 3 to 5 sets, so it doesn't take very long. I will share their website below. They still do the free classes and you can sign up for them. And then if you like the class at the end of it, you can sign up like to pay for lifetime access to their stuff. They've changed it a little bit since I did it. I was in one of their first classes, and I know now they've changed up how they do the afterwards. So I'm not sure how they're doing the signups afterwards, but when I did it, it was free. And then you afterwards have a choice if you want to pay for it, but you wouldn't even have to. If you just signed up for free and they give you 2 different type of groundwork exercises, you could just keep those and do those every day. And I really love doing them. I notice a significant difference when I'm consistent with doing them, and I feel great doing them. I think that's the thing with movement, is I need movement exercises that I actually like doing in order for me to make sure that I do them. And I love doing these exercises. I have a weighted hula hoop that I love, and I notice a difference when I'm consistent with doing that. So I will rotate that in. I have a little rebounder that we got in an auction for $5 years ago, and I like doing that. I like doing some different like fun cardio workouts. I like doing some gentle weightlifting workouts. So finding what you enjoy doing, I think that is the key thing. And that is what's helped me with being consistent, is finding things that I like doing and that I see a difference in when I'm consistent with doing them. I will usually do the groundwork exercises in the morning. And then after that, because I've opened up my body, got my posture right, then I will do gua sha and jade rolling. So that is to help circulation in the face. It's helped to get rid of inflammation. And I do it on my chest, my neck, my face, and down my face, and then also the back of my neck. I like using the Gua Sha Stone. So I'll usually start with my jade roller. You always oil your face when you're using the jade roller or the Gua Sha Stone. And I use my homemade calendula jojoba oil. And so I'll do the jade roller first, and then I'll use my Gua Sha Stone. You wouldn't even really need a Gua Sha Stone. You could just use your fingers, like do an L form. You just want to be very gentle. So even with the Gua Sha Stone, I've seen people on Instagram before and their face is red after they're using the stone. I watched this lady's tutorial of how to do it in 2021, and I'm so sad because I think she deleted her YouTube channel because I can't find it anymore. And I loved her stuff, but she was like a trained esthetician, and she said you want to hold your Gua Sha Stone how you would hold it with two fingers. So it is very light. You are not pushing the stone up against your face. You're holding the stone flat up against your face and then pulling it. And I feel really great when I'm consistent with using it. There are some mornings that I skip this, but most mornings I do try to do my jade roller and Gua Sha Stone because I do notice a difference from doing it. Another thing that I do every day is have a carrot for lunch. This I learned from Ray Peet. He passed away now, but he was a huge proponent of the raw carrot salad, which is shredding up a carrot, mixing it with apple cider vinegar and MCT coconut oil. Well, I use MCT coconut oil. I think you can use just regular coconut oil, but I prefer the MCT coconut oil because it's the fractionated kind, so it's in liquid form, whereas coconut oil, when it's cold, it gets hard. So I like using the MCT coconut oil that I get from Azure, and then you add salt and pepper, and that's it. So that is the raw carrot salad. I do that sometimes, but I definitely have a raw carrot every single day because Ray Peet's studies have shown that eating a raw carrot, especially with the apple cider vinegar and coconut oil, but even if you just do a raw carrot, it is known to help eliminate excess estrogen in the body. It's also known to help clean out the intestinal tract because of the fiber. So that is something that I've been able to do every day. And I struggled with doing the raw carrot salad every day. Some days I didn't, that apple cider vinegar acidity, that did not sound good to me for lunch. So the days that just doesn't sound good to me, I will just eat a raw carrot. If I'm craving the carrot salad, I'll make that. But I am consistent with making sure I'm eating a raw carrot every single day for lunch. And that's not the only thing I eat for lunch. That's just always a part of our lunch. I make sure that we eat a raw carrot. And then obviously whatever we eat for lunch, sometimes it's leftovers, sometimes it's tuna, sometimes it is a chicken sandwich or egg salad. We like our lunches to be very like simple cold meals, especially during the summer, like BLT style lunches is our favorite. And then on that note with food, we compost every single day. So we compost everything. I know that people say like you shouldn't compost lemons or citrus. We compost everything. Everything goes into the compost. Bones goes into the compost. We actually haven't had mice problems at this house, but well, when we first moved in, we caught some mice. But if we ever catch mice, we throw those in the compost. Everything goes into the compost. We take out our compost every single day because all food scraps go into the compost, except like meat gravies where there's salt or, you know, heavy salted things, we just dump out into our woods. But if there's not salt or seasonings or stuff like that, if it's just raw stuff, that goes into the compost. And we have really good dirt growing. And we've been doing it like this since 2020. And things always grow out of our compost. So although people say you shouldn't compost lemons, we've been doing it and we've never had any problems with it. I actually think our dirt is pretty good from the compost that we've created. And Scott's the one who's really into the compost side of things. I just kind of add the stuff to it. He's great at managing it, flipping it, turning it, all of that stuff. I just make the food and dump the scraps. And he usually is the one to take the compost out too, because that's just usually his thing. But we compost every day. And then I touched on this on the things that I don't do video, but every day I make sure I have some sort of mineralized water. So if you use a water filter, like a Berkey, that will take out everything. And the problem with that is you now are missing out on all of the good nutrients of water. When we were in South Africa, Scott's family lives in the mountains, and so the water is mountain fresh water. And I noticed when we were there, my nails were they were the healthiest they've ever been. And I know it was because of the mountain water. Every time we go, it's the mountain and probably the mountain air. The mountain air is very fresh, but everything about being there, I just always feel so healthy. And I think it's because the water, we drink it pretty much, it goes through a UV light, but that's the only like filtration or cleaning. Otherwise, it is just mountain water and it is amazing. And so for here, we obviously have city water. We do have a spring across the street. We need to get that water tested and figure out how to block it off and start drinking that water. We had our neighbor's horses who own the land. Before we got it, they just moved them out in the fall. So we need to make sure all of that water is good before we drink it. But it's a pretty good running spring. It's always wet over there. So we need to get that figured out. But right now we are adding minerals back into our water. I use trace mineral drops. I also will make sun tea every single day. I will add hibiscus petals, alfalfa leaf, nettle leaves, milk thistle, and oat straw. And put that in a 1/2 gallon container, and then I will sometimes put fresh mint in it or fresh lemon balm. Anything that's outside, I'll put that inside of it and then let that sit in the sun from the morning until the afternoon, and then I'll drink that. I had bought some of these Trace Minerals Power Pack vitamin C packets for when we went to South Africa when we were traveling on the plane because it was a really long flight. So I still have a few of these left over because you get like 30 in a box. And so I do like these. I just think when you break down the price, it ends up being quite expensive. And to me, I'm like, you know what? I'd rather just add salt to our water. That's another thing that I do is the adrenal cocktails in the morning is I learned this from Corey Malloy. She does 1/2 coconut water, 1/2 orange juice, and then cream of tartar and salt. And drinking that, sipping on it, not just gulping it all down, but sipping it throughout the morning, it's a good energy boost. So I try to do that in the mornings when I'm working out. And again, I noticed that since I've stopped drinking my cold brew and have focused more on drinking mineral water or coconut water and orange juice, I have had so much more energy for the rest of the day that I don't hit a slump, that I'm just energized, and then at nighttime I start to slow down. So it's been cool to see, again, doing the little small habits and seeing good things come from doing those small habits is always encouraging. And then another thing that we always just try to do, which I touched on a little bit, is just being outside, working outside, doing something outside every day. That is so healing. I feel like we were made to be outside in creation. That is where God created us to be, to work with our hands. And so that is a priority for us. Another thing that I do every day is either read a book or listen to a book. I like to do both. I like to listen and to read, but I definitely want to do some sort of reading. I'm reading through Pride and Prejudice. I'm actually reading it and listening to it, so I'm further along listening to it than I am reading it, but I am loving it. I love this book. I cannot believe that it's taken me so long to read it. I like doing it that way because the things that, again, I miss listening, I'm able to pick up on when I'm reading it. So I try to read every single day. And then Scott and I always have a book in the car that we're reading together. Right now we're reading Joel Salatin's book, The Ecstasy of a Lunatic Farmer. I think that's what it's called. But we've been really enjoying that. We're almost halfway through it, and it is a very good book. Scott's read it before, but I've never read it, and we're really enjoying it. And then we come to evening times, and every night around 8, we're usually out in the garden until dark right now, but even in the winter, as soon as it gets dark and we come inside, I will make hot chocolate for us, and our body craves this every single night. It is so easy to make. We just do hot water, and then in our little glass jars, I will do a scoop of the Perfect Supplements collagen powder for both of us, and then I will add a little bit of vanilla, homemade vanilla, a pinch of salt, a pinch of baking soda, because just having a pinch is supposed to help with sleeping. So that's a new thing that I've added in the past month. And then I will add about a tablespoon of cacao powder or cocoa powder, whatever I have on hand, and then some sort of sweetener. So honey or maple syrup, or I have maple sugar. We'll add one of those things, and then a little bit of raw milk or cream, and then the rest we top up with water. And we drink that every night. And normally in the summer when it gets super hot out and we don't want a hot drink, I will basically take that same thing but turn it into a milkshake and substitute the hot water with ice and then just just add extra raw milk. So it's that same exact recipe, but it's iced, blended up, and it's like a frosty or a milkshake. And that also is really good. So we're still doing the hot drinks, even though it's warm out now. We are just still craving the hot drinks. I haven't made us a milkshake yet this year. That's always fun. And then I touched on this in my last video. We turn off all the overhead lights, have all the lamps on, and we do have blue blockers. We're not always great with doing that. We try to read in bed at night, but there are some special occasions where we watch something in bed. There's a South African YouTube channel that's like a baking show, and that always comes out on Mondays. And so usually my Monday nights, I'll sit in bed and I'll watch that, and Scott, he'll be reading or something while I'm watching it, and he'll be half watching it. But we've been trying to be better about reading in bed instead of watching things in bed, again, with the exception of the Tastemaster show. And then before bed, we will do our flosser. So we have, I forget what it's called, we have that flossing machine that we floss our teeth with. We rinse our mouth with diluted hydrogen peroxide, water, and then every night we put mouth tape on. We both notice we sleep better with mouth tape on. Scott just uses a tiny little piece and puts it right in the middle. I tape my whole mouth. And yeah, obviously if one of us has a stuffy nose, we don't do it. But most nights we feel pretty healthy, and so we use mouth tape. Those are our everyday habits that we have just been able to incorporate into our life. They are just things that you almost just don't think about anymore because it's just a normal part of our lifestyle. And obviously there are exceptions and times when we can't do certain things, things come up, and those habits just don't happen. But every normal day, those are things that we do. And so I hope that this has given you some new ideas, and I bless you and the rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.